Have you ever gotten so caught up in doctrine that you forget about the people who need to hear the gospel? The Apostle Paul shows you that sharing the good news about Christ requires both the right knowledge and the right heart. Today, you'll discover how to build bridges to people desperately needing to know Jesus' love. Stay tuned as Stephen dives into Paul's powerful example in a lesson called Theology Plus Sympathy Builds Bridges.
In an article in a Christian journal I was reading the other day, the author recounted an incident that occurred in her church. One Sunday morning, the pastor announced from the pulpit that a young elementary school boy named Crockett had trusted in Christ as a savior just a few days earlier. Well, a little boy sitting out in the audience around the age of 5 jumped to his feet and shouted, "Hooray for Crockett!" It was totally spontaneous excitement and joy over the news that his friend had just gotten saved. Well, everybody in the church turned to stare. The boy's mother was embarrassed, and she pulled him back to his seat and told him, to be quiet. Well, the author wrote that, that was too bad, wasn't it? The entire congregation should have stood up with him and shouted, "Hooray for Crockett!" Well, as we set sail today in Romans chapter 9, let me tell you, there wasn't anything that made the Apostle Paul happier than seeing someone come to faith in Christ. And there wasn't anything more tragic to him than someone refusing to accept the Lord Jesus. Well, as we get started here, we're going to catch a glimpse of the heart of Paul. He's seen his own Jewish nation as a whole reject their Messiah. He knows that many people are now wondering if God's going to abandon Israel as a result. Will the Jewish people lose their status as God's chosen people? These are the questions that Paul is going to address now here in chapter 9. But Paul begins here by revealing his own heart, his own deep love for his people, his fellow Jews. He writes here in verse 1, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Reminds me of something I read some time ago, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, I think Paul embraces that idea. He expresses that here in this sentiment. And before he lays out his theology about the nation, he reveals his sympathy for the nation that at this point here is effectively lost. Can you imagine somebody willing to trade places with the lost? Well, I think Paul has everybody's attention now because he cares that much for his lost Jewish kinsmen, the nation Israel. Now, what we find next is an exhortation from Paul for the Jewish people to recognize their unique position, their blessing from God. So beginning here in verse 4, Paul just sort of unpacks Israel's identity and history, and then he assures them that God still has a special plan for the nation Israel. The apostle spells out 8 different blessings here, and the first one is adoption. Paul writes here in verse 4, "They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption." By the way, this is the only time in the New Testament where Israel is said to be the adopted sons of God. So Paul is simply stating that the nation of Israel retains this special position with God as his chosen nation. Secondly, Paul writes here that Israel experienced the special presence of God. He says that to them belongs the glory. Now, this is a reference to the glory of God, the doxa. That Greek word gives us our word doxology I've mentioned before. Paul is referring to the visible glory of God that was seen by the nation Israel. From the time of the Exodus from Egypt, they saw God's glory as this great fiery cloud. It separated the fleeing nation of Israel from the pursuing Egyptian army that was racing after them. What a blessing his presence was to the nation. Third, Paul also says that Israel has the covenants. The word could be translated agreements. God had personally agreed, entered into agreements or covenant relationship with Israel, the Abrahamic covenant and the covenant of an eternal kingdom and the covenant of a throne through David. That set out God's unconditional promises to Israel. Though Israel has been temporarily set aside in God's plan while God builds his church made of Gentiles and Jews, these unconditional covenant promises to the nation Israel will be fulfilled literally in the future with a land, a kingdom, a throne. Now, fourth, Paul writes that Israel has this special place in God's heart and plan, for to Israel was given the law, the giving of the law. Well, the law revealed God's holiness, God's requirements for his people. Already back in Romans chapter 3, Paul wrote that it was a great advantage to the Jews that they had been entrusted with the oracles of God, there in verse 2. But the treasure of God's word wasn't just for the nation Israel. It was also to be a blessing to the nations of the world. Well, with that, here's the fifth blessing Israel had received, the worship. Worship refers to the entire system of temple worship under the law with its sacrifices, with its priesthood, with its ceremony, its principles of atonement, which clearly pointed to that final atoning sacrifice of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus himself. In other words, the people of Israel were given the path to approaching the very presence of God. What a blessing. Here's how you get to God. That was given to the nation Israel and through them to the world. Well, the sixth blessing Paul mentions here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 4 is what he calls the promises. Well, these promises relate to prophetic truths about the coming Messiah. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. Those prophetic truths throughout the Old Testament given to Israel were fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah. Here's the seventh. Israel had the blessing of a godly heritage. Paul writes here in verse 5, to them belong the patriarchs. Well, these are the men of faith, like Abraham and Moses and David, who demonstrated, modeled great faith in God. With that, Paul moves to the climax of the blessings. From their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. In other words, the Messiah was coming from the Jewish nation. Christ, meaning anointed one, had Jewish blood flowing through his veins. Jesus is a Jew. And you know what? You know what Paul does here? He just starts to celebrate with some hallelujahs and hoorays for this greatest of blessings, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the Messiah. Paul writes his hallelujah here at the end of verse 5, he writes, Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. By the way, beloved, that's one of the most profound, irrefutable statements in all of Scripture regarding the deity of Christ. Let me read it again. Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. Wow. Well, let me wrap up our study today with two observations. First, it's possible to have the right amount of theology when sharing the gospel with others without having the right amount of sympathy. Again, those lost people in your life, beloved, you don't build a bridge to them with your knowledge. You build it with your concern and your love for them. Paul writes to the Corinthian believers that if you understand all mysteries and you have all knowledge, and yet you're without love, you're just like a loud cymbal. All people hear coming from you is a bunch of noise. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, it's possible to experience spiritual privileges and miss having a personal relationship with Christ. Now, this is the case with Israel. I mean, think about this for a moment. Do you know about Christ today? Well, that's a wonderful privilege. You've heard about him. Well, what have you done with him? Have you come to know him personally? Have you trusted in him as your Messiah? I saw a bumper sticker some time ago that read, try Jesus. Well, I think too many people are doing just that. They're giving Jesus a try. My friend, you don't try Jesus. There's no such thing as trying Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You trust Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God over all, blessed forever and ever. Well, now, if you're a Christian today, you happen to have an immeasurable, eternal series of blessings from God. And let me just say, it's possible to take all of that for granted, isn't it? Maybe you're demanding right now that he give you something you want. Maybe even today you're beginning to wander away from the Lord because he doesn't seem to be delivering, you know, what you desire. Even though your heart right now might be heavy with some burden, let me encourage you to trust your Savior. I want you to stop and thank him for what he has given you. And then tell him you'll trust him for what he has not given you. Let me encourage you to stop right where you are and enter into the hallelujah of Paul. Say with him right here, "My Lord Jesus Christ is over all things. He is God, blessed forever and ever. Amen." Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope today's lesson was encouraging for you. You've learned that effective evangelism combines theological truth with genuine compassion for the lost, mirroring the heart of Paul. So, don't just tell people about Jesus. Show them you care about them as people. That opens hearts to hear the gospel. As you're interacting with people and sharing the truth of the gospel, we have a resource to help you. We have a brief explanation of the gospel message that we call God's Wisdom for Your Heart. That resource is available in three ways. It's on the main screen of the Wisdom International smartphone app. It's available at wisdomonline.org/gospel, and there's a print version available. Call us at 866-48-BIBLE for information. Thanks again for joining us. Be with us again next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.